What do you think the world would be like if we didn't filter our personalities at all, if we were just 100% raw?
I think it'd be a... It'd be pretty interesting. I think there'd be a lot of violence, to be honest. Like, if you just walked down the street and you saw somebody, they look goofy, and you said, "Hey, Big Nose, you know, y'all are gonna start fighting." That's my take. Because there's too many personalities that just don't jive.
I think it would be pretty interesting, but I feel like, in a way, like, I think it would be a lot better, because everyone here, like, everyone's fake. Like, it's, everyone's completely fake. Like, in, like me, I'm fake. Everyone, like, the people sitting next to me is fake. Like, there's no one's 100% like real.
Fake.
So like, I feel like if everyone was like actually real, then like maybe stuff would go places.
Is your personality situation?
Is the way you act influenced by geography, social circles, and profession?
Does anyone ever act without a mask? Or do we all falsify our personalities to a certain extent?
Is it not monstrous that this player here, but in fiction, in a dream of passion, could force his soul to his own conceit? This is a line from Act 2, Scene 2 of Hamlet. What do you think this means?
Personally, I think Hamlet is asking, why are people better at putting on a persona of emotion than actually showing their true emotions?
Do you think that that is true?
I don't know. We'll have to find out.
All that and more on today's episode of the Clark Stella Podcast. For today's show, we recorded several different interviews, all relating to the idea of appearance versus reality.
Here's the first interview with Christine Mesh. Miss Christine?
Yeah, hey Bobby, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good. Just running around crazy with this kid.
Yes, ma'am. So, throughout the day, everyone goes through the struggle of managing overwhelming feelings. Why do we suppress these feelings and replace them with like a mask that we really don't agree with?
Well, that's fairly easy. If we're struggling with a feeling, that means we're uncomfortable, and us humans don't like being uncomfortable. We like things to feel easy. So that could definitely be a factor, is that the feeling itself makes us uncomfortable. So we either suppress it, or we mask it, or ignore it, or push it down, however you want to, you know, describe it.
Yes, ma'am.
So that would be probably the biggest factor, is the fact that it makes us uncomfortable and we don't want to deal with it.
Why do we feel the need to mask our true personality? Are we protecting... Well, I guess in most cases, we are protecting ourselves. But do you ever... In your work, do you ever see situations where they're protecting someone else by covering their
absolutely.
True emotions?
Yeah, absolutely. Abused women will do it a lot, you know, to protect their abuser, who they may be afraid of, to protect their children, because they might be afraid that if people, especially a professional like me, finds out that they're with someone who's physically, verbally, emotionally abusive, you know, I have a duty to warn, which means I need to call child protection if there are children involved.
Yes, ma'am.
People don't want authorities involved in their business. So that's kind of a As unhealthy and dangerous as it is, it's like a protective factor, because, okay, if this person beats me and beats my kids, you know, the alternative, the cops are going to come to my house, my children are going to get removed, he's going to get arrested when he gets out, he's going to be more, you know, that's an example.
Yes, ma'am. Are there any positive scenarios that you can think of where masking your feelings is a good thing?
Yes, I do it at work. When I'm dealing with very difficult patients, people with substance abuse issues, people who are lying straight to my face, people who are being manipulative, I have to mask my frustration because I'm not going to make... If I go to work and I'm aggravated, I'm not going to get very far with helping the patient or establishing any type of trust or rapport with the patient. Or if a patient tells me something really traumatic, like the patient's sharing something with me and the patient's crying, if I sit there and break down and cry, what good am I?
So, do you think that everything that we say or relay to the world outside of our body is in some way fake, like is in some way masked?
Not all the time. No, I would hope not. I mean, because the goal of being a healthy human being, I think, is to be as true to yourself as you can, within reason.
Within reason? Because, within reason, you're still withholding something.
Right. I don't know. That's a really good question. That's a tough question.
We are here with
Deputy Jennifer Bulas.
And we have some questions for her.
In a position of power, like a police officer, you're looked up to by the community. How does this affect how you act?
You're definitely aware every time you put on this uniform or you're in this. I mean, you got a target on you. I got the shield. Everybody recognizes this uniform with the patches as, the belt. As somebody who's there to help them, protect them, keep them safe. If they need anything, they come to us. So you're definitely aware that all eyes are on you all of the time. Anytime you step out in public, you realize, they're looking at you, they're looking up to you. If they need something, they're coming to you. So keep it professional and keep it together for the community. So, yeah.
Is that something that you kind of have to remind yourself every day when, that... you have to kind of put on this appearance for everybody because everybody is looking up to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Are we out of trouble now?
No. I'm here with
Dr. John Wells, a psychiatrist at LSU in New Orleans.
All right, Mr. John Wells.
I think this, everything about hiding your, true personality, just being 100% honest at all times, you think that's human nature? Or if we all, grew up in solitude, we wouldn't have that? We wouldn't have that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's an interesting question, and certainly one that people have looked at before. There was a famous case that, I don't know, may speak to what you're talking about. It was a family in Russia back in, I think, the 30s, a family of four, and they were basically persecuted for their religious beliefs. And I believe, if I'm remembering it correctly, the gentleman's brother was shot and killed, by some soldiers or something like that. He took his wife and two kids, and they fled into the Siberian wilderness, where they lived for 40 years without ever seeing another single human being. I think they had two more kids, I believe that's right. And so 40 some odd years after they had fled this village, and they were 200 miles off in the wilderness and never saw a single soul, had to make everything from scratch and live basically like animals off the land. A team that was doing some kind of geological exploration found them. And one of the things that they noted after they sort of overcame the initial reluctance of this, you know, family, their mystification and their reluctance to, you know, interact with other people. I mean, they still thought that they were going to be persecuted for their religious beliefs, basically. And so two, you know, basically the four children had never interacted with anybody other than this family unit. And one thing that the people who found them noted, as soon as they really could begin to communicate with this group, is that they all had very different striking and strong personalities. So, you know, one of them had a very curious and sort of open-minded personality. Another one was, you know, very rigid and sort of dogmatic and judgmental, you know. So so I think that that probably, you know, speaks to it, right? That, I mean, that's about as a vacuum as you could possibly grow up in, and yet they all differentiated to reflect all of the personalities that, that you would see in a high school.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hi, we are here with
Jen Scortino.
Transitioning from an English teacher to assistant principal, how have you had to adjust your personality at work?
I don't know that I've had to change it much, because I feel like I'm still being the exact same person I was before. I still feel like I cut up with kids. I still discipline them when I need to. I feel like I did the same thing when I taught them.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that when I'm in meetings now with adults, I've changed my persona. I want to make sure that my voice is heard. I want to make sure that my voice is respected. And so, but as far as when it comes to the students, as dean of students, I want to make sure that I stay connected with them. And so I try not to change my persona.
Mm-hmm. So I guess the adjustments that you make when you're talking with other adults and other teachers here, do you think those are falsified, or do you think, these are aspects of your personality that you've never had to show before, or do you think that these are just aspects that you haven't shown at work
before? I think it's like code switching. I think that, I think I've always shown leadership potential in certain areas. I think the when I'm with faculty and adults, there's a different type of respect that's expected. There's a different type of reverence that's expected of whoever's in front of them talking. And so I probably shift for that. I don't think it's fake. It's just more of me. It's a different side of me. But I don't think that it's fake in any way. In fact, I try to be as authentic as I can be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What do you like most about this job, the current position that you're in, and what do you miss most about the previous job? Or do you think that there's not much of a difference?
Well, I still get to teach, so that's good. So I still have some of that. I think what has changed, and I do miss it in a way, is that kids were very open and honest with me about their lives in general. And now that I am the disciplinarian, that has shifted a bit. Kids still tell me things like who they're dating and stuff like that, but they don't really talk to me as much about personal issues and problems. Some of them still do, but it's obvious that that has kind of shifted with my new role.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as they found another adult on campus to do that with, I'm comfortable. Mm-hmm. I just hate if they don't feel like they have an adult that they can talk to.
All right. Thank you.
That was it?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Hi, we're here with
Paul Peltz.
And Paul Peltz is a?
I'm a child, adolescent, and adult psychiatrist.
Right. And so we have some questions for him here.
Everyone goes through the struggle of dealing with
overwhelming feelings, and you have to suppress them somehow and mask your true feelings about the situation. Why do we do this so often and go along with things that we don't truly agree with?
I think a lot of times people assume that they cannot tolerate their feelings. And sometimes that's the case, and sometimes it's not the case. And that may be based on their having had experiences or feelings in the past that were totally overwhelming. Or it's a new experience or a new feeling that's kind of uncharted water, and they don't quite know what to do with it. Or people are presuming that they need to act a certain way based on what society has dictated or their family has dictated is correct.
Why are we better at putting on a persona of emotion rather than our true emotions?
Well, I don't know that everyone necessarily is. I think some people are better at it because they do it more often, or they have more experience with doing it, or they're more comfortable in caricature than they are being themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a part of it is how comfortable that person is with just being themselves and what they perceive are the expectations of other people. Do people like them better when they're being someone they're not? Are they more successful in their daily endeavors when they're in character? Or is it just merely that they're not as comfortable being in their own skin?
Mm-hmm. Just a follow-up question here. Do you think it's detrimental to kind of put on a persona or act in a caricature of yourself?
I think it depends on how much of yourself does or does not get lost in that process. Another part is I think it depends on whether you're actively aware that you're doing it. And in doing it, is it serving a noble purpose? Is it serving a manipulative purpose? Or is there no purpose for it at all? And can that person be aware of it and turn it on or off when they need to, or do they get lost in the persona that they're trying to exude?
How do you think a person's childhood, like parenting, religion, pastimes, affect how open someone is later in life?
Well, I think what you're speaking to is what we would call character or personality development. And part of that depends on what is modeled by other people. Another part is whether our parents, teachers, adults of significance allow us to truly explore and figure out who we are, and in being who we are, that is okay. So I think a lot of the early experiences that people have either send them the message that it's okay to be yourself and to figure out who that is or not.
In your opinion, is it necessary to mask your personality to a certain, not your, you specifically, mask a person's...
One mask, their yes. personality. Is that where you're going?
Yes. Yeah. In order to be well-liked, successful?
I think that depends. I think if you have personality flaws, maybe you should. If you're not a particularly pleasant person, or a patient person, or an understanding person, are an empathic person by nature, maybe that's a sign you need to work to develop some of those qualities. But the question I think becomes in developing, in putting on a persona, are you putting on a false face? Are you trying something on that's not you at all? Or are you trying to adapt yourself in a healthy way to maybe what the environment dictates?
Do you think it's possible to
not falsify your personality, but really adapt it and create something new? Or is it possible to change it?
Well, I think there's wiggle room there, is what I would say. Is can you take, let's say, negative aspects about yourself and work to be a better person? And in working to be a better person, does that mean you're being a false person? Or you're simply aware of where the flaws do lie and you're trying to make those less problematic? Versus someone who is simply pretending to be someone that they're not really examining themselves. And I think that's the whole midst of Hamlet, was self-exploration and examination. And, you know, there's the quote from Hamlet, "To thine own self be true," you know, and at the end of the day, you got to answer to yourself. And I think that's what we're really talking about. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, can you look in the mirror at yourself and say, I did good things today, I'm a good person, or not? And I think that's part of when people exist in a false persona, they're not really examining their true self. Mm-hmm. Or they're hiding their true self.
Self-exploration and self-examination are the wise words of Dr. Peltz.
These are two major themes that run throughout Hamlet.
But these events can only be known to the individual, as relaying self-exploration and self-examination to the outside world seems almost impossible from what we have discovered today.
However, we have learned today that the best thing to do is follow Shakespeare's advice. Suit the action to the word to the action. With this special observance that you overstep not the modesty of nature. We believe this means act true to yourself, but adapt your own personality to be the best person you can be based on the environment that you are in.